Glad to be here tonight. We're glad to see you. In case you wandered in here, this is Dominion Training Center. We are a disciple-making Bible study. We're not here to be the biggest Bible study in Houston, but we're here to make disciples. And my name is Elvin Craig, and usually it's Robert Weichel that does the announcements, but they are still in Wichita. So I want you guys to continue to pray for them. They're due back in town. I believe they leave Wednesday from Wichita. So I think they're going to try to be here next Thursday night. Okay? So I'm going to go over a few announcements briefly. Now, I have not been able to confirm her yet, but I have confirmed her, but I've been trying to reach her today, and I didn't get the chance to get on the phone. But Ralphina Dotson will be here July 12th. And July 19th. Is that right? No. July 19th and July 26th. Excuse me. Okay. And so we're going to try and start about this time next week so that we can give Ralphina all the time that she needs. We will record the messages, but I think she'll bless you. Praise the Lord. So I'm really looking forward to Ralphina. When she comes on the scene, she just tears the place up. She doesn't leave it the same way as she came. Okay. Next Tuesday, we have intercessory prayer at City on the Hill, and that begins formally at 6:30, although we start gathering over there about 6 o'clock. And kind of the way I prayed tonight is kind of how I've been praying at City on the Hill. You know, I've been praying for Pastor Juan and praying for his finances and all the finances of the church and those kind of things. And I believe God's going to change things over there. And as you can't pray for someone else without also getting blessed yourself. So I think City on the Hill will receive the same in return. But it's not about who we are. It's about what we're doing in the body of Christ. Amen? Let's see here. Not this weekend, but the following weekend, we're due to go to the Extel unit, but we'll keep you posted on that. I don't know if it's going to be a Friday visit or if it's going to be a Saturday visit. So we'll keep you guys posted on that.
There's no Friday evening?
Friday afternoon. Okay. But I've got kind of a small challenge. I got to do a wedding next weekend. So we're going to have to work that out. All righty. I think we have one new guest, and your name is
Vicky.
Nice to have you. I should say first time guest.
Yes.
So we're glad to have you here tonight. Is she really? Okay, well, I hope she didn't drag you into something that you regret. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're glad to have you. Well, once again, this is Dominion Training Center, and we are here to make disciples. I was going to continue teaching her Brother Norval's book, but as I was sitting there praying, he changed my message. So, Devin, if you would, I think the verse I'm going to go to is going to be Matthew chapter 6, verses, I think it's 8 and 9. The title of the message tonight is The How and the Purpose of Worship. Okay? And what I want to do is, we've been talking about worship, but I want to make sure that you are demonstrating proper protocol. There's a protocol when you come into the presence of God. In Hebrews 11:6, you don't have to turn there, but the thing is, worship deals with developing real Bible faith. Okay? The church needs to understand, we've written books on the ABCs of faith. We've written the books on the mechanics of faith. The bottom line is, you have faith because you trust God for who He is. But you can't trust somebody you don't know. And many people don't know God. So the thing is, worship is one way to develop real Bible faith. Worship is one way to how you can get to know who he truly is. Amen. And many of you have read these verses before, to diligently seek him. Worship is a way of diligently seeking God. Many in the church today, many born again, sold out Christians that have been in the church for many years, they are bound and limited by their flesh. Did you know that? Most of us are bound and limited by our flesh. We want God to do things. Now, let's understand that what is flesh? So I don't get complicated here. Can anybody tell me what flesh is? The simple definition is flesh is that part of you that did not get born again when you got born again. So what part of you got born again when you got born again? Okay, it's your spirit. So your mind didn't get born again. Your brain didn't get born again. And heaven knows your body didn't get born again. So the bottom line is flesh is your unrenewed mind. So the thing is that we've got to learn how to defeat flesh. You know, I prayed a few moments ago about going by the way of the brazen altar and to present your body, a living sacrifice. See, dead sacrifices is not what God's looking for. He's looking for living sacrifices. The problem with living sacrifices is sometimes they crawl off of the altar. So we've got to find out how to avoid that. Worship is a place of revelation where you leave the constraints of the flesh, where the flesh is defeated. When you're beginning to believe God for things that you never believed for him before, the thing that's going to stop you is going to be your flesh. The very moment that you begin to believe God for something and say, God, I believe I receive, here comes flesh. And flesh says, do you really think you're going to get that from God? You really think God's going to give you that? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Worship is a place of revelation where you leave the constraints of your flesh and become immersed into his presence. And you operate out of the senses of your new nature. You operate out of the senses of your new nature. Within your new nature, there are guts. I'm not going to get gory here. Very similar to the guts in your body. Your body has a liver, it has a heart, lungs, a pancreas, etc. Each organ in your body has something, each organ in your body does something that aids to the overall function of your body. The pancreas, for example, creates what? Insulin. Your heart pumps what? Blood through the body. But on the other hand, the guts of your spirit are forces called what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. These are all forces in your spirit, and they're in there right now. Many of them are undeveloped, but these forces are in your spirit right now. These forces all work together the moment you begin to speak or act on the Word of God. There is no anxiety in your new nature, only peace. Did you hear that? There's no anxiety. So why do you have anxiety when something happens that you weren't expecting? That's your flesh. That's your flesh. When you begin to have fear, uncontrollable fear, what is that? That's your flesh. Where does your flesh come from, by the way? Huh? Where does your flesh come from, by the way? Came from the world. The day you were born, the world began to work on your flesh and taught you fear, anxiety, anger, jealousy, resentment, all those kind of things. How many people had to train their children to do bad? None of you did. They just naturally acted that way, right? That's the world. That's the world. There is no fear in your new nature, only faith. There's no sadness in your new nature, only joy. Let me say it like this. There's no lack in your new nature, only abundance. Did you hear that? There's no sadness in your new nature, only joy. There is no hate in your new nature, only agape love. There is no fear in your new nature, only faith. So are you hearing what I'm saying? These things are on the inside of you right now. Now, you may say, well, why aren't they working more than they should? Well, like anything else, if you don't exercise it, it doesn't work very well. How many are right-handed? How many are not that are right-handed, you're not good with your left hand. Why aren't you good with your left hand? Because you don't exercise it as much. You know? Well, I'm going to go, Lord, now you want me to go there? Okay, I won't do that. I was going to say something, I don't want to gross them out. But at any rate, the thing is that the reason that these forces are not working in your life is because you haven't learned how to exercise them. Worship is one way where you can begin to exercise them. When you begin to worship God, you begin to unfold the mysteries of who He is in you, and it will help you to understand who you have become. Most Christians don't know who you've become. Did you know you are more than a conqueror? Now, can I say something negative here? Sometimes you don't act like it. Don't shout me down now. Did you know you are a victor and not a victim? Then why you talk like a victim? Come on now. Come on. It is in your place in God you stand in full authority over all the power of the enemy out of the forces of your new nature. See, that's where the victory is. The victory is when you learn how to stand in the forces of your new nature. When you begin to understand the most powerful weapon that God gave you was the inner man on the inside of you, and you learn how to live out of that place, you cannot be defeated. Now, it doesn't mean you won't be knocked down. Doesn't mean you won't be pushed back. Doesn't mean the devil won't try you. It just means that he can't win. Why? Because you've been seated in heavenly places, not here in the earth. It may look like you're here on the earth, but you've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the book of Ephesians, it says that you have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In that previous chapter, it said that God raised Jesus from the dead and sat him at his own right hand. Did you know that Jesus raised you from the dead and sat you in himself? You are sitting. When it means that you have the born-again nature, the Spirit of Christ that's in you, it means that Christ lives in you. He's seated in you. So you, listen, how many battles did Jesus lose?
Zero.
Come on now. All this means is it means that God has given you the right to rule and reign on the earth just as the President of the United States rules in this country. Did you hear that? You have a right to rule here on the earth in the kingdom of God just like the President of the United States rules. We got to learn this. Now, the thing is this. Here's why we don't know this. Because we know it in our brain. We know it up here. We just haven't connected our brain to our heart. And we've not been taught. It's not our fault. We have not been taught. As Dan Moeller would say, we've been schooled in the wrong home. We've been homeschooled in the wrong home. You are to rule out of your seat in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have his authority in this earth. You are the body of Christ. You are to use the authority of his nature in you and exercise your place in Christ as sons for all eternity. In other words, this is really a dress rehearsal. In other words, this is not just for a short time. In other words, you'll be ruling and reigning for the rest of your existence. You'll rule and reign. You will rule and reign. You need to get that in your thinking. You will rule and reign with him. This is an eternal standing, and there's no departing the place you've been given in Christ. It is finished. It is a finished work. You are the sons of God. Worship is the key to this offensive position and a place of intimacy with God. When you enter into private worship, you take on what? The mind of Christ. See, the thing is this, you have your own mind. You have your own way of thinking naturally. The thing is, there is a mind in you that when you got born again, that mind was placed inside of you. It's called the mind of Christ. That mind is on the inside of you. That mind only thinks of victory. That mind can only think about being more than a conqueror. It doesn't think about being defeated. If you start thinking thoughts of defeat, guess what mind you're thinking with? Your unrenewed mind. You're thinking with the mind that did not get born again when you got born again. The mind of Christ is the mind that you want to think out of. Now listen, when you begin to worship God, you begin to understand how to connect and engage the mind of Christ on the inside of you. It becomes automatic. There's no working it up. There's no gymnastics that you have to perform. You just begin to walk in that mind. Why? You become familiar with it. See, you're more familiar with your natural mind than you are your spiritual, the mind of the Spirit. Many of you don't understand the mind of the Spirit. You know why? Let me ask you a question. Why don't you have the mind of, I bet I say his name, I may get a whole bunch of boos. Why don't you have the mind of Joel Osteen? Huh? Why don't you have the mind of, and I'm not saying you have Joel Osteen's personal mind, but why don't you think like Joel Osteen?
Because you don't read his books.
You don't dress for it. But now you're onto something there.
Yeah, like you don't.
See, if you are around somebody and you're studying them, you'll become to think and act just like them. Let me ask you a question. How many of your kids think and act just like you do? Now, many think you don't think that they do, but they do. They act just like you. I don't do that. Oh, yes, you do. They don't get that on their own. They get that from somebody that they're watching. It's not just the world. It's the world is includes you. You're teaching them about fear. You're teaching them about how to lie, how to cheat. I remember when I was real little, man, you know, I used to see people go to the produce department and they'd pick grapes and eat them. Well, I figured, okay, it's cool. So I did that one night, and my mother gave me a penny, and she made me go to the cashier and give him a penny for the grape that I ate. I'm going, everybody does this. But here's the point I'm making with that. We don't understand that we've been trained and conditioned a certain way. And sometimes we do it because it's just natural for us. But you're going to have to understand there's a teacher in you that'll begin to teach you how to think like God thinks. Now, let me ask you a question. When do you want to know how to think like God? When everything's going good or when everything's going bad? It's most critical to think like God when all your world is turned upside down. Because when everything's going right, you got it going on. I mean, you know, God's the furthest thing from your mind. But when the tests and the trials come, that's when you got to learn how to plug into the mind of Christ that's on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go on here. When you begin to spend time in private worship, that's when you become less aware of the world's systems and your limitations, and instead you become more aware of God's kingdom and the forces that are within you. Are you hearing that? When you spend time, and when I say worship, folks, I'm not talking about you got to have a CD or no. It's just simply, I love you, I worship you, I magnify you, I give you praise. I love you with all of my heart. Father, I'm in love with you. Just those statements of adoration. Now, in a few minutes here, I want to talk about protocol. I'm just kind of setting all this up. In private worship, you begin to freely operate out of the mind of Christ. It's automatic. When I say freely, I'm saying you begin to automatically operate out of that mind. You begin to worship God even in the grocery store. You begin to worship God as you're driving. You begin to worship God because it's just who you are. It's who you have become. Frankly, you are a worshiper, and you should be worshiping God in spirit and in truth everywhere you go.
Amen.
That's who you are. What do you think you'll be doing in heaven? Floating on some cloud? Looking at some half-naked babies with harps and arrows? Floating around going, wee, no. You're going to spend time worshiping God. And when those arcs go up and they say it's time to worship God, every one of you will hit the ground immediately. You will not be able to walk by the throne of God without worshiping and praising God. Why? Because he's the center of your life. Well, why should it be any different now? It should be the same. You should begin to worship him now. You should unashamedly begin to worship him. Now, I'm not saying call attention to yourself by worshiping God in some weird places when you know it's out of place. But I'm just saying you don't have to be loud when you worship God. You can worship God in your own heart. When you begin to freely worship him this way, you become united with him in spirit. In this place of unity, it frees him. It frees him. It's not that he doesn't want to do this, but he can't go against your will. Until your will is submitted to his will, he can't go against your will. So when you begin to worship him, it frees him to be able to operate through you to bring his truths forth and his purposes and plans to pass. When the Bible says, and we'll get there here in a minute, but when the Bible says in, I think it's John 4:24, the time is that now is the worshipers that will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and he seeketh for such to worship them. Here's what that phrase, spirit and in truth, means. It means you have been given a nature that where God resides now on the inside of you. And you ought to give God praise from that nature. And as you give God praise from that place, he begins to conform you into the truths of who he says that you are. Did you get that? The Spirit of God begins to form you into the truth of what a more than a conqueror is. You think a more than a conqueror, when he comes up against a challenge, goes, "Oh, brother, pray for me. I'm going through a test and a trial. Oh, the devil is after me again, brother. Pray for me." That's not what a more than a conqueror does. You know what a more conqueror does? He finds a place and he throws up his hands and says, "I don't know what to do, but I give you praise. I worship you. I glorify you. I magnify you. I praise your name." That's what a true worshiper does. And that spirit within you begins to conform who Christ is. During these times of intimacy with him, your heart begins to see and understand him even more as you begin to mature and grow. And at this point, he is now free to enforce the Son's victory in your life. See, this is where the anointing of the believer comes from. The anointing of the believer says what? What is anointing of the believer? You will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. You'll cast out devils. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's the anointing of the believer. But most believers are not flowing in that anointing. We should be going to malls, getting people healed, and the world going, "Get out of here, get out of here." And the world going, "They going, I'm going, because I'm going where the power is." But yet and still, we get offended. Oh, we might offend somebody. You think Jesus felt that way? Come on now. So let's talk about the how-to these next few minutes about worship. When we want to worship God, we start off by offering our soul. See, we're talking about, can you bring up Ephesians 5:18 real quick, please? I'm just kind of flowing with him tonight. I don't really have all textualized. I'm just kind of flowing with the Holy Ghost. So you just have to bear with me. But Ephesians 5:18 says, go to 5:17. "Be not ignorant," or what is it? How does it start out? "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What is the will of the Lord? Well, the will of the Lord is not to be drunk with wine, where is in excess. His will is to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. How am I filled with the Spirit? Next verse, please. "Singing psalms and hymns and making melody." Verse 19, please. "Speaking psalms and hymns." Speaking to who? Speaking to who? Speaking to who? When I change the word "speaking" to "minister," ministering to yourselves. Am I speaking to you tonight? I'm ministering to you, right? Same difference. But now you become the minister. I said you become the minister. I said you become the minister. You don't need somebody to teach you, as the book of John says. Now, we should have teachers, But listen, you're going through a problem. He says you can minister to yourselves. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He didn't say with Israel in the background singing a good song, or with whatever worship leader you want to use in the background. It says speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? As unto the Lord. In your heart. Not out of some musician's heart. Not out of somebody that has a CD playing. No, it's out of your heart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a powerful principle here. You've got to learn this. Ministering to yourselves. Ministering to yourselves. Become a minister to yourself. Begin to stop during the day and say, God, I give you praise. I'm ministering to myself. I worship you. I thank you. I glorify you. I honor you. And it doesn't mean, I mean, we got some people that can sing good here. Miss Vivian can sing, and Loranda can sing, and my wife sings some, and I don't know who else sings in here, but that's all good. But God's not looking for that. God's looking for people that will minister to themselves. So he says to minister yourselves in psalms and hymns, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Now remember, what is the topic of discussion? The will of the Lord. The will of the Lord. How to be filled with the Spirit. God's will is that you be filled with the Spirit. Now, there was a teaching many, many years ago that says that if you pray in tongues, you're filled with the Spirit. That's partly true, too. But I'm telling you, you can be filled with the Spirit by singing psalms and hymns and making melody in your heart as unto the Lord. You are ministering to yourself. Giving thanks for what? For all things. Now, look at that word, all things. So does that mean I give him thanks when I get cancer? Does that mean I give him thanks when I have an accident? Does that mean I give him thanks when things are going bad? No, 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 no. You're not assimilating at verse. Go back up to verse 17, please. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's not God's will that you would perish. It's not God's will to put... Where would God get cancer anyway? Now, be careful with this statement. I hear preachers preaching on it a lot lately. God allowed it to happen. Careful with that statement. Be careful with that. Now, I do know in the Old Testament that you'll read where it says, and God allowed this to happen, and God allowed that to happen. Okay, but you got to go back. That's why I don't want people reading the Old Testament, because you don't understand the thinking back there. He's not saying God brought it. He's saying they reached the level. They reached a level of judgment. What would you think God would do to you in the last days if he told you to quit doing something bad, but you kept on doing it? And you kept on doing it. You think you're going to be able to do that until you get to heaven and God's going to go, oh, it's okay. My grace covered it. No. And most Christians think that. I'll tell you something that's big in the church right now. I don't want to sound negative, but it's something that we're going to have to deal with in this generation. And I'm not talking about divisions here. I'm saying the church of today, we got to deal with this. It's promiscuity in the church. There's more pornography going on in the church than you realize. Youth pastors are just, they're just plagued with it. 70%, there's a report I read this morning, 70% of all youth pastors are plagued with pornography. You want them teaching your kids? Laying hands on your children? Prophesying over your kids? And when they go home, they're back on their computers until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, surfing the internet. Come on, somebody. We got to handle this. We got to handle this. Do you know why preachers fall to sexual desires? You know why they fall into to sin? You know why? Lack of relationship. But because their mind begins to think on those things, and they don't know how to turn that thing off. And listen, do you think if you're a pastor in Houston, Texas, and you got a problem like that, you're going to come to another pastor in the same city to get delivered? I think not. How are we going to take care of this? You thought I was off on my topic, didn't you? Be not unwise what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise what the will of the Lord is. When you came into this room tonight, there's a switch on the wall called the light switch. When we first walked in, it was dark in here. When we hit that light switch, there was no fighting over the light and darkness. The light just overpowered the darkness. Now listen to this, friends. When sin begins to invade your life, you're spending the wrong time with something you ain't got no business spending with. Sin does not have the power to go, come here, Dora, I'm going to make you commit sin. It doesn't have that kind of power. Now, you may think that it does. You may feel that it does, but it doesn't. And that's why he's called the great deceiver. Because he can deceive you into thinking he's powerful. He's not. Jesus defeated him over 2,000 years ago. He doesn't have that kind of power. Listen. He doesn't have the power to kill you. Get past that. But when you go to your doctor and your doctor goes, well, now you don't want to die, do you? You look at him and go, doctor, to be absent in a body is to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. I ain't afraid of dying, doc. That's what I told mine. It made him mad. But I wasn't being ugly. I was going, I'm not going to let you put fear on me, man. The thing is, I want you to understand this. It is not God's will that fear would threaten your life about anything. I don't care if the economy in Houston, Texas is bad or good. God has already provided something for you. I don't care if you get some damnable disease. God has already delivered you from the damnable disease. He doesn't have to work it out. He doesn't. I hear you say, God's working it out. God doesn't have to work it out. It's already worked out. I'm getting loud, huh? I'm sorry. Starting to preach now. But the thing is, he's already worked it out. When he sent Jesus to the cross 2,000 years ago, it was worked out. You know what you got to work out now? Your unrenewed mind. This is what you got to work on. I remember Dan Moeller giving a testimony about his wife. Ricardo, you might remember this. But his wife fell sick. And the reason she fell sick is because she thought that people only spoke to her because she was Dan Moeller's wife. And she felt, they don't really like me. They prefer having you around, not me. And so she thought she wasn't worthy, a worthy wife, and he was trying to encourage her. And long story short, she opened up the door enough to where the devil came in. And she, whatever she contracted, she ended up with brain damage. To the degree that she was on the deathbed. Open telling us right, Brother Dan. If I'm not, send me a letter and I'll correct it. You know what Brother Dan did? He says, doctor, my wife's going to get a miracle. You know what the doctor said? Listen, I've heard that before. You don't know how many people I've heard, how many pastors have told me they're going to get a miracle and they end up dying. Brother Dan says, he says, now, doctor, you do what you do best, and I'm going to do what I do best. Let me tell you what. Now, Dan doesn't go into this, but I can tell by the Spirit of God, I know what he did. Dan went home, and he began to worship God. And he worshiped God. What does Exodus 14:14 say? He says, be still, and I'll fight your battles. How do you be still in a battle? Private worship. It's saying, get your mind together. Quit allowing that thing just run around some ring and think that you're on the run like some boxer has you on the run. No, you stand and you be still and you begin to give God praise. No matter what your challenge is, no matter what you're going through, you find the time to get along with God and you begin to tell him how much you love him and watch the light of God begin to come into your soul and begin to wash away all of the fear. And while God's washing away the fear with his presence, he'll begin to go, where I am, when I come on the scene, I bring everything who I am. If you need healing, I bring healing. If you need deliverance, I bring deliverance. If you need finances, I bring that too. I bring when I come, that presence that comes to you through private worship, that presence, that presence that you get when you worship him, all of a sudden it begins to invade your problems supernaturally. That's why we spend time worshiping God. Now here's the point I want to make tonight. I said all that to go into this. There is proper protocol. Could you go over to Matthew chapter 6? I think it's verse 8 and 9. Now, you've already heard these verses before. It's nothing you never heard before. It's nothing that you never go back to 7, please. Now, what Jesus is doing here, he's teaching his disciples how to pray. And what he is saying here in these first verses is he is teaching them the proper protocol. Let me ask you a question. How many of you work for a living and you have a supervisor? If you need something from that supervisor, do you just get up and just walk in the office and say, hey, and just start talking to him? Huh? No, at least you're going to get up, knock on the door, say, excuse me, got a quick question. You don't walk into their office and go, hey, I got something I got to talk to you about. No. You have to schedule an appointment. You have to be invited there, right? If you have any kind of job at all, I mean, most cases, is that how you get the post office? Or do you just go in there to bad self whenever you want to? I know whenever when I go into my supervisor, I may have something that's urgent, and I'll go knock and say, hey, you got a second? Or I may send her an email and say, hey, can you put me in your calendar? I've got something I'd like to discuss with you. When you go to another country and you meet a dignitary, a king, a queen, there's protocol. In some cases, you don't look into their eyes when you're first in their presence. In some cases, you don't come in. They may let you come to the door, but you don't come any further until they go, come. That's called protocol. Well, God has a protocol. And we were studying Matthew chapter 6 last week regarding the woman that had the daughter that was on the brink of death. And the Bible says she came and she said, Jesus, my daughter lies at the point of death. And Jesus said, talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. He wouldn't listen to her. Why? She didn't have the right protocol. Now, here's why it's so important tonight. You have a need. Something's going on. And usually what we teach Christians is just say a prayer, any prayer, just say a prayer. Wrong. There's proper protocol. Now, there are times when you're maybe on a wet highway and your car is getting out of control and you don't want to go, oh, God, I give you praise. I worship you and magnify you. When I get done here, I got something I got to ask you about. Car is out of control. No. Those cases, yeah, he understands. But in most cases, many of us are not going through things like that. And so there's proper protocol that you ought to conduct when you go before the King of Kings. Remember, he is God. Now watch these verses. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now listen, are you a heathen?
No.
It's okay to say things over and over again, but you don't say them to be heard. You're saying them because you mean them. That's what he's talking about here. They think they shall be heard. In other words, they think God will listen to them because they keep saying the same. You ever see a kid says, "Mama, mama, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? Mama, mama, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it?" And you think the more they say it, the more they're going to get hurt. No, God is not like that. God is saying, have the right protocol when you come before me. "Be ye not, be ye therefore likened to them, for your Father knoweth." He already knows what you need. So it's not about what I'm asking for. He already knows. You ain't hiding nothing from him. He knows how far in debt you are. He knows how bad your liver is. He knows how bad your heart is. He already knows. You don't have to get them and go, "Oh, God, now, brace yourself, Father. This is the big one." He's like, "Come on with it. I'm ready for this." "Be ye therefore not likened to them, for your Father knoweth what thing." He knows, he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows you just got laid off. He knows your kids are on drugs. He knows your husband's out there doing something he ain't got no business. He knows how your spouse is treating you behind. He knows. He knows. He's not scratching his head when I wonder what's bothering them today. They're kind of cranky. He knows. He knows. Before you ask. So you're not going, "I got someone to ask you, but you're in a good mood today." That's not how he operates. He already knows before you ask. Next verse, please. Let me get on with this. After this manner, now he's going to teach some protocol. Here's how you enter into his presence. Here's how you come before him. "Therefore pray ye." Now this is what's important. "Our Father." Now remember, when he was teaching them this, were they born again or not? They were not born again. So now I go, "My Father. My Father." Because Jesus made me a son. They were not sons then. Am I right? Correct me if I'm wrong. They were not sons then. They're son. We're sons now. He's already consummated the deal. So I say, "My Father, which is in heaven." Now that word "hallowed" is very important. Hallowed. It means holy. It means glorious. It means he's righteous. There's no wrong in him. Not even a shadow of any wrong in him. He's to be hallowed. That means when you come before him, you have to realize, when I was growing up, back in my days, there used to be a guy on television called Bill Cosby. You remember Bill Cosby? He's gone a long way from God now, but I pray God brings him back or he gets back with God. But one of Bill Cosby's favorite sayings was, "Son, I brought you into the world. I can take you out." That's why I look at that statement. He's God. He brought you into existence. He can very easily take you out. Okay. Now Cosby is saying that off the cuff and being flippant. God means it. He's got that kind of power. So he is to be hallowed. His name is to be hallowed. His name is to be reverenced. So why does he get a kick out of me saying, "I love you and I worship you and I magnify you"? Because I'm hallowing his name. I'm exalting his name. That's what. It doesn't turn him on. Now listen. But it turns off your unrenewed mind. It turns off your unrenewed mind. It's the light that begins to come in that floods your thinking, and all of a sudden, your unrenewed mind goes to sleep. Because in all that hallowing and all that glorious and all that splendor and all that holiness, your unrenewed mind goes, "I don't belong here. I don't have a voice here. I'm out of place here. Someone be quiet here." That's what's so powerful about entering into the proper protocol to your Heavenly Father. So what I'm going to teach you tonight is this. When you begin to worship God, make sure you're pouring yourself into every statement of adoration and every statement of praise. Don't find yourself saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, but your mind is on, tomorrow morning is a work day. Traffic's going to be bad, probably. I need a little bit earlier. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, and yeah, I got to stop by on the way home and get the clothes off. I love you, I love you, I love you. And you hear what I'm saying? That's not hallowing his name. That's not reverencing his name. If you are not hearing yourself say every statement of adoration and every statement of praise, your mind has wandered off. Now, will you enter into his presence? Now listen. Eventually, yes. But if you'll learn to control it, you'll get there a whole lot faster. And when you got an impending problem, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And when you allow your mind to wander, you begin to go out in all kinds of places. He's listening to you, but listen, you're not hallowing his name. You're not giving him proper protocol. And so therefore, what will eventually happen, now get this, the law of confession will begin to kick in after a while. Does everybody understand the law of confession? The law of confession is simply this. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Christianity is called the Great Confession. We confess what we ask. We confess what we want from God, and it becomes ours. The problem with that is that people have begun to confess things as a kind of as a rote method. You know what I mean by that? You just say it with your mind, but your mind and your heart are not connected. So when I say I love you, I worship you, I magnify you, and I'm hearing all of that for myself, I'm in the presence with him. I am right there with him. I am saying that from my heart. But if I'm saying that and my mind is working on something different, or I'm concerned about what may happen, or I'm concerned about a problem that I can't solve, and I'm worshiping God, but I'm thinking about the problem, you'll eventually get the problem resolved, but it'll take you a whole lot longer to get it resolved. And what I want to do is make sure you get there as soon as possible. You see what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, that presence will begin to come. You'll begin to say things you never thought about saying. I've learned so many things that about worship just because I get into his presence and the Holy Spirit begins to teach me how to worship him more. He teaches me sayings. The other day I was worshiping him saying, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Well, he stopped me. He says, now go over to Romans chapter 8 and let me show you something. So would you please go over to Romans chapter 8 and let me show you something. All glory to God. He is so good. He is so good. We're going to start in verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's freely given you all things. All things consistent with the godly life. He's freely. Listen, and don't allow your unrenewed mind to talk you out of that. He's not talking about spirit. He's talking about things. Things. Healings, deliverances, children, jobs, cars, houses, things. He's not talking about, he's talking about things. He is freely giving you all things. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of the elect? Who is the who here? No. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who should bring accusations against God's elect? El Diablo. Now watch what he says. It is God that justifies. If God justifies you, how is he going to bring some accusation against you? Amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 starts out by saying this. There is therefore now. Amen. The next word is a very important word. No condemnation. Wade Robertson teaches that is this. There is no condemning sentence. No condemning sentence. No condemning sentence. No condemning sentence that can be carried out against you. There's no damnable disease that can be carried out against you. There's no poverty or lack that can be carried out against you. There's no sickness or disease that can be carried out against you. Need I go any further? Because I'm getting excited. Glory to God. None. Yeah, but then why is it gaining? Why is it so strong in me? Because you don't understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if you'll start singing songs and making melody in your heart after to the Lord, guess what? This verse will become your reality. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you saying amen. I done preached myself happy. I'm telling you, when I spend time with him, this is the kind of stuff I see, and I get excited about it. Glory to God. Verse 35. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Who is the who? El Diablo. He told me this one day. He said, son, can you separate water from wet? I'm like, whoa. No. So let me ask you another question. Can you separate heat from fire? No, sir. Then you can't separate me from your love. You can't separate yourself from my love. I will not allow it. Now, you can allow it. You can separate yourself. That's why it says who. Now, the who isn't you. The who is El Diablo, who convinces you you're not worthy to be loved. Come on, somebody. The who is the you, or El Diablo, that says, you know what? You just don't measure up. But it's not you, but it's El Diablo. It's some devil or demon that convinces you that you're not worthy, but you are. Why are you worthy? Because your last name is what it is? No. Why are you worthy? Because you are son and daughter of God. That's why you're worthy. Let me finish this. Oh, man. Whoo! I hope I'm man. My goodness. He goes on, he says, shall tribulation or distresses or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. In other words, there's no test or trial can separate you from the love of God. God would not allow it. It's an ironclad guarantee right there in your Bible. He's not going to allow any of these things to separate you. In other words, he's going to love you no matter what you're going through. He's going to love you no matter what you tolerated. You may have made the mess. You may have committed the sin. You may have put yourself in harm's way. But his love is not going to be separated from you. And never think, well, I messed up. God's mad at me. His love can never be separated from you. God has never been mad at you a day in his life. You thought he was because some preacher taught that nonsense. And it is not true. God is not mad at you. Why? The blood has been shed. Amen. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Oh, goodness gracious. As it is written, for thy sake you are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. See, the devil thinks we're just a bunch of suckers. We're just a bunch of suckers waiting around to be leveled out, to be knocked out, to be taken out. They don't know any better. Now, in most cases, he's right, because we don't know our Father. We have not gotten acquainted with him. We don't know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We don't know that we know that we know that we know that we know that our knower knows that we know that we know that we know Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. And if you don't know that, you'll be swept out. You'll be swept away. It is written, for thy name's sake, we are killed all day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. No! But in all these things, oh, come on, somebody. In all these things, we are more. We are conquerors through him that loved us, the love that cannot be separated from me. I'm a conqueror. Brother Craig, you caused that problem. I know I did, but because of his love, I can't be separated from him. And I'm still a conqueror. Yeah, but you messed up. I'm still a conqueror. Read it in the book, buddy. I'm still a conqueror. It's nothing but the word of God. No matter what I do, when I come back and read it, it says the same thing again. It says the same thing. No matter how many times I goof up, when I come back and read it, he still says, you're a conqueror. You're a conqueror. Now, how do you get that in your heart? I give you praise. I'm a conqueror. I worship you. I'm a conqueror. I glorify you and magnify you. I am a conqueror. Nothing can separate. Man, one day he got me on that, and I couldn't get off of it. What's happening? His presence is beginning to come. He's beginning to fill me with his presence. See, worship is a presence gift. Worship is a relationship gift. Worship is the gift while I begin to know him intimately. Yeah. I begin to know him intimately. And all of a sudden, you may curse his name blue, but I go, I love him with all of my heart, man. But he let me down. No, you separated yourself from the love of God. That love has never stopped coming after you. I don't care what bumbling mistake that you've made. Now, if we could take this gospel and begin to share it with our nephews and nieces, our little cousins, our grandkids, you think the world has a chance of taking them out? But you know why? We don't know this stuff is in the book. It's never been preached this way before. We look at these verses and go, I don't know what that means, but it sure sounds good, but I don't know what it means. But when you spend time with your Heavenly Father and you spend time with the Holy Spirit, it's his job to reveal what all that means. Nothing. Man, when I got a revelation of that, nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing. I don't care if you don't like black people. That's your problem. That ain't going to separate me from his love. Wish I had known that about 30 years ago. I wouldn't have went all out there trying to prove myself. I don't have to prove myself. He's already proven me. I am a conqueror. He put that label on me. I didn't grab it and blab it. He put that label on me. I am a conqueror. He put that label on you. But you've got to become acquainted with it. You got to begin to love it. You got to begin to wear it. You got to begin to own it. You got to begin to go, that's who I am. And the devil knocks me into it at nighttime going, oh, that pain. Oh, that's cancer. Oh, ooh, that's cancer. You got to go, shut up. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. There's no damnable disease that can be carried out against me. No condemning sentence can be carried out against me, devil. None. Man, I hate to get loud, but I get turned on by it, man. I'm turned on by this stuff. So you can see what I've been spending my time. I've been spending my time with him. I mean, every time I begin to worship him, this stuff comes up. Why? Because he's in love with me. I'm in love with him. We're making songs and melodies, and we're just having a good time. He's exposing himself to me. He's taking out my fears. He's taking out my anxieties. He's taking out my worries, and he's bringing my new nature forward. And those forces of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and meekness and self-control, and God knows my faith. Oh, my faith. Oh, my faith. I'm learning how to keep the faith. Not how to use faith to get a prayer answer. I'm learning how to walk in the faith. I know who I've become. That Jesus has came inside of me. I am loved and I am a conqueror. And I don't care what you think about me and what you say about me and how ugly I am. He's in love with me. He's in love with me. I don't know about you. I do know about you, but I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. He's in love with me. Now, you may think, well, you're a little cocky. No, I'm just confident he's in love with me. He's not a man that he can lie. He exalted his own word above his name. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will never pass away. He tells me that every day. He says, son, you got to get to the place where you realize my word to you is just as sure as it was to Jesus. The only reason why Jesus did the miracles he did, he was sure of who I was. And people say, well, but he was the son of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he stripped himself of all of his royalty. He stripped himself of all of his power. When it says that, how many have heard the saying about the eye of the needle? Jesus went through the eye of the needle. He went through the virgin birth. He stripped himself and he became just like you. Compared to where heaven operates, we're paupers.
He became of no reputation.
Exactly. We're poor folk down here on the earth in our natural state. But when we put on Jesus, oh, we are the richest amongst the rich. And the thing is this, why do I have lack? Because I haven't gotten that in my mind yet. See, I think it's okay to go out and finance cars. And it is okay. I'm not knocking that. But let me tell you something. His way is, son, I can give you the cash. Amen. I own it anyway. I own the cattle on a thousand. I own it all, son. It's mine. I made it. It's mine. I'll give it to who I want to give it to. Nanny, 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 devil. But until we begin to understand that and begin to know that, we'll keep thinking that this is the way we have to live. We're not supposed to be living the way we're living now. We should not be looking at rich people going, oh, look at that. We should be going, that belongs to me. I'm serious. I'm serious. And listen, I'm going to say this and I'll end. This is the church that God is raising up in this hour. He's raising up a church and a people that'll believe just like I'm talking about tonight. They won't look at that and bat their eyes like a cow in a rainstorm going, could this be true? No, they've taken and saying, my father cannot lie. I know it's true. So how do you get there? Get up in the morning. Put some time aside in the afternoon. Tell your grandkids, tell your kids, tell your husband, tell your wife, listen, I'm going up here and I'm going to talk to him. And you shut the door and you just spend time with him. Let him put you to sleep like I do. And when you turn over at nighttime, wake up going, I give you praise, I give you praise, I give you praise. You know, he goes, wow, I'm still on his mind. I'm still on his mind. He loves me. Let me tell you something. He gets just as excited as you do about that. You know how, let me ask you a question. We'll get back to this next week. But if Jesus told you in the flesh, great is your faith, what would you do? I'm going to tell you what you do. You'd be out there on 290 running beside every car because you'd be like, I got great faith. There ain't nothing, there's nothing that's impossible to me. I have great faith. You would be so elated. You couldn't contain it. Well, listen, that's exactly who you are. He told that woman, he says, woman, great is your faith. God wants to tell you, great is your faith. How do you get there? Private worship. When we come back to that scripture, she came to him and she says, Jesus, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come and heal her. You just said, talk to the hand. And it says, then she came and she worshiped him. She worshiped him. She worshiped him. Many of us running to God going, give me. I need this. You know, I need this. And he's like, when was the last time you spent some time loving on me? I've been trying to get you to, like, so I can love on you, but you don't have any time for me to love, for you to love on me. And not that he's jealous, but he knows you're the one that's deprived. You're the one that's hurting. You're the one that's in lack. You're the one that's in need. Listen, he cannot change. You're the only one that can. He is immutable. He cannot change. You're the one. I'm the one who has to change. And the way I get him to change me, the way I yield to him changing me, is through private worship. You think we're done with private worship yet?
No.
Not by a long shot. Because I'm telling you, this is the message that God's going to begin to raise up. See, we had to go through praying in tongues first to give you a foundation. Because if you skip the praying in tongues, when you come to focusing your mind on him and keeping it there, your unrenewed mind would just be all over the place. But now, if you spent time praying in tongues, your mind, you know how to quiet that mind. Isaiah chapter 28 says, with stammering lips and with a new tongue will I speak to this people. This is the rest whereby the weary shall be rested. With stammering lips and with a new tongue will I speak to this people. See, the way you get that rest, the way you shut that mind down, is you spend time praying in tongues. And then the Holy Ghost begins to purge you of the things the world put in you. That's the first phase. So we had to spend a year or so working on that. Everybody say, oh, Pastor Craig preaches on his praying in tongues. No, you dropped out of school. You're a dropout. You dropped out of school. See, Pastor was going to take you on something else. But you had to get that first. Now we got that first. Now we can talk about worship. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. There it is. Isaiah 28:10. Glory to God. Amen. Did you learn anything tonight?
Yes.
Proper protocol. Be there in the moment. Make sure you are engaged into him and not wandering off trying to fix a problem. And the sooner you get in that presence, trust me, when you begin to sense that presence, everything you need is in that moment. It may be just for a split second, but that's all you need him. You don't need a whole bunch. Do you remember when Moses says, I want to see your face? And what did the Father say? I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. You know what happens to you when you say, I want to see your face? He says, I'm on the inside of you. See all you want to see. Come into my presence and you can see me all. You can have all of it you want. They couldn't see him. You can. That's what a believer has. You can know him in a way that Moses wanted to. You can know him intimately. Can you imagine talking to somebody and you ain't never seen them before? Can you see how frustrated Moses was? But now he lives inside of you and he wants to have an ongoing dialogue with you and he wants you to fall in love with him. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for every word that was spoken. Father, we pray that it did not fall on stony ground. It did not fall on shallow ground or rocky ground. But Father, it will not produce 30-fold return. It won't produce a 60-fold return, but it'll produce a 100-fold return. And I give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Now, after all that preaching, is there anybody that has any pain still in your body? It's okay if you do. I know I don't have nothing. Say again? Okay. I believe that you'll have little to no pain. You know, many years ago, I had surgery done on my mouth, and I went to the pharmacy to get painkillers, and you know what? I never needed them. I'm telling you, God can do it. Just because everybody else has pain, you don't have to have pain. Now, I'm not saying you should feel condemned if you have pain, but my point is that a place in God, that you can go through these things and not have it. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. So you have a Father, we declare and decree that Joey's mouth is healed and whole in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of infirmity. I thank you that he's healed from head.